anyhow. All right, we are in Colossians chapter 3. Okay? Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about, in the very beginning of chapter 3, where he talks about the fact that as Christians, okay, those who have been raised with Christ, where we have to be setting our hearts and our minds. And we talked about the whole idea of, since we've been raised with Christ, where do we need to be focusing? On the things above, not on earthly things. And we talked about the whole idea of you know, where we're looking, and we're you know, whatever we're searching for, where we're looking is what's going to determine what we're going to find, okay? So if we're looking this way, you know, we're facing struggles, we're facing problems, and if we're looking at the world's solutions, then that's what we're going to find. But if we're looking this way, we're focusing on God's solutions, then that's what we're going to find. So he challenges us and calls upon us to stop looking this way and to start looking this way. Set your hearts and minds on the things that are above, not on the earthly things that he says. And why did he say that? Well, because what? We have died with Christ, we talked about, okay? So we're going to talk more this morning about putting to death. We're going to talk about Christians being murderers, okay, or killers, all right? Because that's what he talks about here. There are some things we need to put to death, he says, in our lives, all right? So as we go into, we're looking at, also, the fact that he says our life is no longer visible because it has been what? It's been hidden in Christ, right? And when do we get our, when do we get to see our life back again? Not the old life, but just the whole idea. What does he say here? Okay, it is a new life, but it is that life that is what? It's eternal. When Christ, who is your life, he says, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right? Miss Jean? We're in chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Okay? So, we looked over in Romans chapter 6 where Paul talks about the fact that the reason we don't live in a life of sin any longer is because we died to sin. We can't live it any longer. Why? Because we have been baptized into Christ. We have been baptized into his what? His death. Okay? We were therefore buried with him in baptism in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might live what kind of life, Wes? A new life, okay? This new life that we have. So we're talking about going from the old to the new. And he starts all of that with this idea of saying, okay, since you're now a Christian, since you've been raised with Christ, right, here's the things you need to be considering in your life. All right? So, beginning in verse 5, let me get somebody to read verse 5 down to 11. All right?
Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian,
Scythian,
slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Okay, so he calls upon us to be killers, right? All right, there are some things that we as Christians have got to, he says, put to death. We've got to kill it. All right, now, you know, when we talk about killing, all right, that is a final thing, is it not? Mm-hmm. We typically, you know, when we think about killing, that's generally we think about it in a very negative kind of a way. It's kind of, you know, gross and somebody died and so on and so forth. But we need to understand that idea and that concept as Christians that yes, it is that way spiritually for us also. Okay, that we have got to be willing to kill these things in our lives, not just try to overcome them, not just try to put them aside, not just try to stop doing them, but we've got to kill them. Okay, now, there was a movie, and I had the name of it in my head here a moment ago, but I can't remember it now. What's the name of the movie with Billy Crystal in it there where he talks about being mostly dead? What is that? The Princess Bride. Yeah, y'all, everybody see The Princess Bride? Okay. There's a scene in there where the main character, you know, they think he's dead, and they bring him to, you know, Billy Crystal. He's one of these, you know, basically, what do you call it? He's a physician, but does magic and all these kind of things. But anyway, bring him to him, and, you know, they want him to check him out and everything. They say, you know, he's dead. And Billy Crystal's thing is, he's not really, he's mostly dead. And if he's mostly dead, okay, that means he's still partially alive. Okay? Now, it makes for a real funny scene in the movie where he talks about and he gives him this, you know, this potion and so forth, and that revives him and he's, you know, comes back and so on and so forth. Well, you know, great funny scene in a movie, but unfortunately, that's the scene that too many Christians are playing out in their lives with these kinds of things. These things are not all the way dead. They're mostly dead. Okay? And if they're mostly dead, then what does that mean? They're still alive and they can come back. When something is dead, okay, that means it's over with, right? It's not coming back to life. So Paul doesn't say just simply, try to stop doing these things or, you know, try to see if you can overcome them. He says, put these things to death. Kill them in your life. All right? So that they are no longer living in you. We need to understand it in that way. I think too many of Christians are just, you know, we're content to just that I don't do it as much. You see? And we need to be striving to kill these things in our lives. What are the kinds of things? Well, look at the world. All right? These are worldly behaviors that are just accepted by the world. This is the way that it is. Those things that belong, he says, to your earthly nature, you've got to kill these things. All right? The first one that he says here, the New International Version translates this as sexual impurity. You've heard me talk about this before. That's an unfortunate translation in the New International Version in many, many places where it uses that word. The word, the Greek word here is porneo, all right? And that word in the Greek language is the word for fornication, all right? And so, you know, we need to understand that. Having sexual relations with someone you are not married to, that's fornication. That's what the word there means. All right? So when he says, again, it's an unfortunate translation, sexual impurity, that's kind of nicing, you know, kind of making it, well, it's not really that big of a deal, is it? You know? It's kind of like what we do with adultery. We turn that into what? Having an affair. You see? No, it's adultery, okay? This is fornication, and he says that's something we have got to put to death. In other words, that is not acceptable for those who are in Christ. All right? And we need to understand that. And the reason I emphasize it so much is because so many Christians, so many people in the church, that's just, you know, well, everybody's doing that today, right? No. Not if you belong to Christ. Not if you belong to Christ. It is not acceptable. And then look at some of the other things that he has in here. Okay, two lists here. All right, that we can almost, you know, look at the first list as this really, really bad stuff, and we say, oh, I don't do any of that stuff. I'm okay. All right, look at it. He talks about impurity and lust and evil desires and greed, which he calls idolatry. Okay? All right? He says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. All right? So God's wrath is coming upon those who practice these kinds of things. All right? And then notice, and this ought to be encouraging to us as Christians. Right? If you have been doing any of these things in your past, you're not alone. All right, look at what he says here. Verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. All right? So, before Christ, before you were saved, these were the ways that you were living, just like the world. Now, what does that tell us? What should it be telling us?
It should tell us we've changed now. We no longer participate in these things.
Okay, we've changed. We're not doing these things anymore. But what else does it tell us? And this is so important for us to keep in mind. Everybody goes through it. Not everybody does all of these things. But those things, if you have done those things, where are they? They're in the past. They're gone. You used to walk in these ways. They're over with. In other words, don't allow Satan to beat you up with these things just because they were part of your past. You have to recognize and say, that was my life back then. But not anymore. You see? Why? Because all that has been washed away. Okay, so we used to walk in that way, in the life that we once lived. Verse 8, but now, and he's going to give us another list. Okay, now this list probably for us may come a little bit closer to home. Okay, he says you've got to rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice. Y'all know what malice is? Ill will. Okay? Or hatred. Ill will towards someone. Okay? Slander. Filthy language from your lips. Lying. Okay. You see, this list is a little different than the first list, isn't it? First list, most of us look at that and go, well, you know, I did some of those things back, you know, before in the way I used to live, but I don't do any of those things anymore. I'm a good Christian. But yet, we still struggle with things like anger and rage and slander and gossip, and no, he didn't mention gossip here. That's another one. He mentions other places. You see? Filthy language from our lips. And somehow, with these kinds of things, we make excuses for them. Or we just kind of accept those. Some things we don't even bother to try to do anything about. Get somebody all, somebody does something to us and hurts us in some way, and what do? We go around just talking about how bad of a person they are to other people. Anybody that'll listen. And we start saying things about them that may or may not be true, but that's slander. It's okay if we tell a little white lie, isn't it? I mean, after all, it's just a little thing. It's not really hurting anybody, right? Do what, Charlotte?
No such thing.
But yet again, how accepting are we of some of these kinds of things?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, if you look at the language that's here, and I don't know if this is Paul's intention or not, but I think there may be something to this. All right, this just put this under the category of a russism, okay? Notice that in the first group of stuff, as we talked about, Paul says to do what with it? You got to kill it. Okay? You got to kill that stuff. All right? Put the weed killer on it and just get rid of it, destroy it all, right? Don't leave any of it alive. But on this stuff, he says, rid yourself of these things. Is there a difference between those two?
I think there is. I mean, like you said, when you kill something, it's dead, it's gone.
Okay.
To rid yourself, it's kind of like, to me, like, get it out of your life.
Right.
You know, just move it out and just no longer do it. But
okay. Is one an event and the other a process, do you think? I mean, you know, I struggle with anger, okay? I don't know how many of y'all do, and I don't know how many of you admit that, but it's a struggle that I've had, you know, most of my life, right? But it's one that I have really, really worked hard at overcoming, right? The struggle's still there sometimes. Okay. And so I'm working all the time trying to rid that out of my life. Okay? Hang with me just for a second, Dawn. I'm trying to rid that out of my life, okay? Now is some, and you can look at these other things that he has in that list to rid yourself of these things. When I first became a Christian, another problem I had, and, you know, Cynthia will tell you, you know, I was a young, single police officer in the city of Newport News, and, you know, I've told some of you before, I had a trash mouth. I mean, I could out-curse any sailor that was out there, you know, and I know some of you may not, you know, believe that, but, yeah. I mean, that was street language, okay? And when I first started going to church with Cindy, now I had grown up in church. I went to church every Sunday as I was growing up as a kid, okay? But as I tell people, I grew up thinking my name was Damn It because that's the way my parents talked to me all the time. You say, and all this is, you know, Damn It, get over here. They cursed and swore all the time. So swearing was just part of my life. And then I started going to church with Cindy, and I was afraid to open my mouth, literally, because I didn't know what was going to come out. It's like, you know, wait, these are real church people. I'm not saying anything. They say, hi, how you doing? Fine. Because I didn't know what was going to come out because, you know, people are cursing and swearing all the time. They're not even thinking about what they're saying. It's just words coming out. And I was afraid to talk sometimes around those people because I didn't know they'd been. So that was a real, real problem for me. And I realized it, but it was not something that just, you know, got over right away. I had to work on that. I had to find all kinds of other words to say. And, you know, there was a whole bunch of substitute words that I started using instead of the other stuff to train myself to stop using that other language. So that was a process. Okay, but what about, you know, the first one on the other list, he talks about fornication. Is that like a process we need to be going through? You know, we realize, well, this is wrong, but, you know, you know, it takes me a while to get over this. No. No, it is not a process. It is a stop doing that right now. And we can. You see? And the other things that are there on that list, those things, we've got to stop doing those things. We put them to death. And there are other things in our life that we need to realize, I've got to get rid of these things out of my life. And that takes work, it takes effort, it takes a process of time. But the point being with both of them, it is no longer acceptable to live that way since we are in Christ. We've got to be working at overcoming those things to be doing things different. Dawn?
And to add because we're supposed to set an example.
Right.
What I was saying is, with anger, too, and I think I have it under control, and then I'm put in a situation I have never dealt with before. Boom, here it comes again. Mm-hmm. And you think you get yourself down. I've learned, I've got my coping mechanisms. Oh, that made me mad. And then all of a sudden, it's crazy. Are you kidding me? How did this possibly happen to me? And then, boom.
And there it is. Yeah. But the process is taking place, and that's the key to this, that we're trying to get that stuff out of there. Dale?
One of them that was on the first list, we skipped by pretty quickly, is greed.
Yeah.
And that one is a little bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's odd in a country where there's so much plenty, but
yeah.
No matter how you are compared to people half a world away, sometimes it's difficult.
Right. Yeah.
And that the greed is sometimes hard to just turn off.
Yeah. Okay. Chuck?
Yeah, we like to sugarcoat that word, too.
Yeah.
We say, oh, greed is just by doing all this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, how much greed is going on right now at this special time of the year when, you know, all we're focused on is how much we're going to get. You know? Comes out.
The lesson that you did about forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
that is something that is very much in the front of my mind.
Okay.
When these new situations come up, to help me fight the anger and
okay.
turn it around to look at it as, it's hard to look at something that makes you angry, which is a negative feeling, and make it something positive for you. But it may be a lesson God's trying to teach you to make you stronger.
Right.
So to think of it coming that way, it makes it so much easier
yeah.
for me to let it go quicker.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. All right. So we've got to get these things out of there. And notice in verse 9 where he says, don't lie to each other. Why? He says, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Okay? So, basically, in the next section, what he's going to be talking about is what we need, what kind of attire we need to be putting on. What do we need to wear? Okay? And so he's using this analogy of taking off old clothes and putting on new clothes. This is a true rags-to-riches story. You think about it, okay? Because when we're living in the ways of the world, we're really wearing rags. Now, the world wants to convince us that, oh, we're just so lucky and we got it all together, right? You see, and we're just... But those are rags. And Paul's saying we got to take those old rags of sin off and we're putting on the new self. Okay? The new self. Get rid of that old stuff, and we're going to take them off. And what are we going to do with them when we take off? You get rid of old clothes, what do you do with them typically? Sometimes we give them away, don't we? Pack them and say, oh, these, I don't like them anymore, but I will pack them up and give them to the AMVETs, you know, or the Salvation Army or what have you. Don't do that with these clothes, okay? You know, don't pack them up and give them to anybody else. Just take them off and get rid of them, all right? These are not clothes you want anybody else to be wearing. So we're not passing these on to anyone else.
Sometimes they're really comfortable and we like
yeah.
to keep it around in the back of the closet.
Yeah, we hang them in there and say, one day I'll wear these. I'll be able to fit into these again, right? Okay? No, we don't want to fit into them. We want to take these clothes out and burn them, okay? Destroy them, because we don't ever want to wear these again. All right, so take off that old stuff and put on the new, and notice what he says about this new self, okay? What's the words that he uses here? This new self is being what? is being renewed. All right? Now, that goes back to what we were saying before about this process, because that those words are written in the present tense. Okay? Now, what does that mean? It's happening now. Okay? It's not something that just occurred in the past one time and it's done. It's not future tense where it's something we can look forward to and one day he's going to renew you. It's happening right now. That new self is being renewed. Which again reinforces the idea that it is an ongoing process. Ever changing. Okay? And to be what? It is being renewed how? In the knowledge, in the image of its creator. All right? So it is happening right now as we speak. We are constantly and continually being renewed in the image of Christ. Now, another thing that that means is that as long as we are still in this world, are we ever going to get to the point where we've been renewed enough and we don't need any more renewing? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Okay? It is a constant, continual renewal. Once we pass from this life, then there's no more renewing. Okay? We share in the glory. That's what he talked about we saw up here in the first part of this. Okay? But until that time, we are continuing to be renewed in the image of Christ Jesus. Okay? And that is for everybody. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, okay? Barbarians, Scythians, slaves or free. Doesn't matter who you are, in other words. Christ is all. He's everything. And not only that, but he is in all of us. If you have been, again, now who are we talking about? Go back to verse 1. Those who have been raised with Christ. So we don't have a hierarchy of citizenry in the kingdom or anything else, right? We're all the same in Christ Jesus. And he is in us. The same process is in all of us. Okay? No one better than anybody else or anything like that. All right? Any other thoughts on that part? Okay, so we're getting rid of that old stuff. We're going to put on the new stuff. And then here's that word in verse 12, therefore. Okay, based on what he's just told us, all right, about putting to death these things out of our life, about getting rid of these things in our life, getting rid of that old self, putting it off and putting on the new. Okay, therefore, as what kind of people? Chosen people. People chosen by God. Right? Holy and dearly loved. Here's what your wardrobe needs to contain. Right? Here's what your wardrobe needs to contain. These are the things that you need to be putting on. Clothing yourself with, he says. All right, and then he gives us a list. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on what? Love. Which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, if you think about this idea and this analogy he's using here of clothing ourselves, I want you to look around the room here at everyone. Everybody look around the room and notice what everybody's wearing. Okay? What do you notice about us all? Do what? We're different, but don't we look nice? I mean, you know, the only time I wear a suit, folks, is usually on Sunday mornings to preach, okay? I don't wear a suit most of the time, unless, you know, I'm doing weddings and funerals. Yeah, I'll wear one to your funeral. I mean wedding, but y'all are doing it now. Just teasing with y'all. You see, we're all dressed up pretty nice, aren't we? Why? Because, you know, we're basically, if you think about it this way, the clothes that we wear for any different occasion, they send a message, don't they? All right? Some of you, last Friday, when we had the dinner, had some, you know, Christmas sweaters on and other stuff, decorations and so on, right? Right, Charlotte?
Yes.
Yes, okay, very festive. The message was what? I'm going to a Christmas party, right? Okay. When we're going to the beach, we dress up in what, generally? Shorts or a swimsuit, right? And that sends a message to everybody that we're going swimming, right? Okay, when we're getting ready to go to bed at night, then what do we dress up in?
Pajamas.
Our pajamas, and that's the signal we're going to bed, right? So we wear clothes for specific reasons, and the clothing that we're wearing at any given time sends a message to other people of what we're doing, right? Well, basically, that's the idea here that Paul is telling us. That these are the things, this is the way we need to dress as those who have been raised in Christ. Because that sends a message to other people when they see us clothed this way that we belong to Him. Right? Chuck?
And I dare say the clothes need to be our comfy clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the ones we wear all the time.
Those are the ones we want to reach for right away.
Yeah. Not just, you know, on Sunday when we go to church. See, we got these physical Sunday go to meeting clothes, right? But these are clothes we need to be wearing all the time. Because it tells people who we are. Right? Brian?
Look at the stuff that's the polar opposite of the world.
Yeah.
When you talk about compassion, humility, patience, that's all the world doesn't have. Especially in this time and age, they don't have patience.
Yeah.
They don't have humility. Compassion is sometimes all the things that everybody's out looking for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where we need to be. Go on.
Sometimes it's not always comfortable to have your comfy clothes on because you're in a situation where what you believe is not the norm.
Oh, yeah, lots of times.
And wearing those clothes, I like that. It can be uncomfortable. It's like wearing a tuxedo to the beach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're out of place.
But it's really, are we out of place or are they out of place? Because we know where we are supposed to be. It's just the world is, like Brian said, it's just so, it's hard to be in the world and be a Christian.
Yeah. Well, we have to understand that if we wear these kind of clothes, like I said, we're going to stand out. And we should be. People ought to be able to notice that. If they don't, something wrong with the clothes we're wearing. You see? If all we're doing is blending in with everybody else, the rest of the world, then we're not wearing the right clothes. You see? Chuck? Glorify God, yeah.
And to let other people know that there is a better life, there is hope, and
Absolutely.
And we are the chains that agent God required us to be for this paper. Again, think about all those who had that influence on you because their life so shined. You know, again, if it wasn't for Kathy and her patience, I wouldn't be here right now. And that's everyone in this room, somebody that had their life shine, so they were at least curious. And then that whole process started, and then you made the commitment. You know, praise God. Praise God that He is patient and willing to wait and knows when to send the people to the beach or to wherever. Find it uncomfortable. But again, God knows what you're capable of. Just like He knew about Paul. He knew what he was capable of. And, but then He called him on it. Why are you persecuting? And then, of course, you know, the rest of the story, praise God. The same for us. He said, what are you guys doing? We will.
You know, if you were to wear a tuxedo to the beach, what would happen? Everybody be looking at you going, what in the world? And really, if you think about it, isn't that how it should be for us? That do what? Yes, exactly. You see? Exactly. We need to stand out. One other thing, and then, because we're out of time here. Notice in verse 13, he says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Now, again, he's talking to who? To Christians, right? Okay, why do we need to bear with each other?
I think because none of us is perfect.
Yeah, because we're going to mess up with each other, right? There are going to be times when we're going to rub each other the wrong way, as the saying goes.
All right?
Exactly. And so, you know, if we didn't mess up, we wouldn't need to bear with each other. There's no reason for him to say this. All right? So we need to understand that you know, that's part of being family, and part of the body is that we got to do that with one another because we're not always going to be on the top of our game. Lynette, real quick.
Well, I think Christians sometimes are the worst at this.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to emphasize it, because it's something we need to be keeping in mind. We've got to practice this, okay? And not be expecting everybody to be perfect all the time, and somebody messes up, we need to realize it and go, hey, okay, they're human just like me.
Right.
And God forgave me, so I need to forgive them, right?
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Miss Jean.
I would always talk to you about not to judge people what they want with. And if you're a Christian, you don't
judge people. Well, we could get into a whole big discussion about all those kind of specifics, absolutely. But the point is that we've got to be careful about what it is that we're wearing. Okay? All right. We'll pick up with here in 3 weeks. Okay? Dale will be speaking next week, and then the following week, Mike Green is going to be doing a Bible class for the preacher swap. All right? So that's what's going on. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.